heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
It always comes back to that old adage we always look at is, how much government is too much government? It's an age-old question, isn't it now? In the past few years now, we're seeing a shift of these two political parties. The traditional Democrat Party that we knew and the traditional Republican Party that we knew, I think you might agree with me, is no longer the same parties that they were just 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and certainly 10 years ago. They changed dramatically. So let's take a look at the Republican Party, the grand old party, the GOP, right? This is a party that was really kind of stodgy. The look and the feel of that was the old white man. You know, you always seen the bald white old man. Taking nothing away from bald men, by the way, but I'm just talking about that was the look of the Republican Party that a lot of people seen through that prism there. And very anti-woman and anti, you know, Hispanic and anti-black and anti-whatever. And that was sort of that feeling out there. Rich people, caviar at the parties, and, you know, that's, come on, let's call it what it is. The Democrat Party, working class, you know, you think back to good old JFK and the working class, the Blue Dog Democrats, the unions, the heartbeat of America, right? The Chevrolet, the apple pie, and all of that stuff. And that was the sense out there of the Republican and the Democrat parties traditionally that we've seen in the prior generation. But there's a shift in place. There's a major shift happening. Some of this, it comes under the word Trumpism. Now, Donald J. Trump is a blue-collar, working-class billionaire. If there is such a thing, he would be it. The Bronx bombastic businessman who came, as you all know at this point, the story in the history books, came down the escalator and said, you know what, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring to the sarcasm and the shenanigans of it all. I think the political class looked at him and thought he was just a Saturday Night Live special, right? That's it. Nothing to it. We're going to defeat this moron in a hot second. He doesn't have a shot in hell of beating the bureaucrats and the political thieves. And that was really the sense they had out there as they took it all over. And so Trump decides no. And so now you've seen this. And you got to remember one other thing. Trump's been saying he's going to run for president for probably 30 years. But then he said he wasn't going to run. Remember, he talked about that on Oprah. He said, well, not really. If there was ever going to be a day, if I had to, maybe, but I really don't want to. I'm going to leave that to somebody else. Now, here's the catch of this whole thing. You know, I ask you all the time why the left has the megaphone. I ask you consistently why they have the megaphone to social media and the newspapers and the television markets and the universities and the colleges and the kids. And I ask you that question. And you all say to me, well, those staunchy old white men, they are running the party and they are running it to hell. And you say, well, they're busy out there in the business. They're making millions of dollars. They're doing their thing. They're raising their families. They're minding their own business. While all that's been going on over the last 50 years, the left has been, you know, they've been chuckling on the side and they've been buying all this real estate up and they own it all. And they've had the megaphone. They speak to the young people. They speak to the young generation through our universities and our school system, our education system in its entirety, even in the elementary schools, people, for God's sakes, in kindergarten. They've removed God from everything. They've changed, though. They don't teach history anymore. They pulled down the statues. They stepped on them. They busted their heads off. Right? They got rid of all of that. And so you've seen this transformation happen in America. And then the party started to shift. Well, then Trump, who was one of those, you know, again, successful businessmen, the the Republicans, the old staunchy look of the old white male Republican problem that they are, the people who don't like the women and the Hispanics and the blacks and the Asians and, you know, all of that, those people I'm talking about, yeah? Well, he was serious this time, and he decided to, you know, he threw his hat in the ring and he said, you know, I'm going to take this thing. Now, he is a man who doesn't like to lose. He likes to win at everything he does. And he, you know, and listen, when you're in your 70s and 80s and you have a lot of money and you've lived life and, you know, you've done it all, people, you kind of care a little. You care a lot more, but you care a lot less. In other words, you don't care if you're going to step into it. What do you got to lose? You see, you either go out with a bang or you go out with a whimper, I guess, yeah? I think it changes. Our priorities change. There's a shift in our mindset as we get older. You all know what I'm speaking to out there. Every generation, every 10 years you get older, your mindset changes. Every 10 years, I'm telling you, your mindset changes. In your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 70s, 80s, and if you're blessed to live a long life, it changes throughout that. And so here's Trump at this point being one of, again, one of those old stodgy Republican businessmen, made a lot of money. And this time he says, what do I got to lose? I'm going to throw my head in. And then he didn't want to lose. He threw money at it. Now, remember, this was a guy who also didn't take the political money from the big corporations and all from the lobbyists. He kind of stayed out of that, used a really grassroots effort. Very minimal. And here's another thing a lot of people don't talk about, which is what I really enjoy about Trump, actually, is when you talk about, a lot of people don't understand what the word conservatism really is. It's making more happen with less. It's using less to make more happen. You see, it's a conservative attitude in your mind. It's shutting the lights off in the room when you leave the darn room, right? It's picking up a piece of trash in the street because you care. I mean, these are the things I see. It's basic conservatism. It's decency. You see, that's how I look at it, people. It's a real simple program here. Of course, we're always being accosted and accused of, you know, not caring about global change, global climate warming, earth burning up, and buffoons who sit in boardrooms and have lots of money and, you know. Yet now, so here's the revelation I want to bring to everybody today is that what I say to you all the time, the historical moments of time you're living in. So right now, we're going to, the generations are going to look back at this moment. As I'm talking to you right now, the future generations are looking back at us ahead if they hear this broadcast, and they will chuckle to know the landmark moment of President Trump. Trumpism. So those two political parties have changed. So, okay, let's, the GOP, that old Republic, is no longer that party. Well, friends, a lot of that, you know, I got to call it as I see it, like it or leave it, but you got to credit that. I'm going to credit that right back to Trumpism, people. You can say what you want. You can jump up and down, but he's the one who has lowered, I mean, the jobs, the unemployment rate, success in the black community, black Americans. Our black brothers and sisters are doing more fabulous than they've ever done. Our Hispanic brothers and sisters are doing more fabulous than they've ever done. Women are doing better than they've ever done. The gay community is doing better than they've ever done. People feel like not only do they have a jingle in their pocket, but they have a jingle in their step. Well, they know that Trump's got his hand on the wheel. They also know that Trump doesn't like to lose. Now, there's something to that. You can say what you want to say about the man. And he does say some crazy shit sometimes. No doubt about it. So that's Trumpism, is he's brought this new flavor of politics back using, well, today's media, talking to the people. Now you talk about transparency. And people say, well, what's a transparent president? You know, what is transparency? Every president has run on that, and it doesn't mean anything to us because they lie. They lie with everything they even promise the people. But here's a president who, you talk about transparency, he puts it all out there. He puts it out there not only between his social media feed on Twitter, but also with his press conferences he does anytime he's stepping on a plane or a helicopter or Air Force One or whatever it is. He talks to the people. And it drives the press crazy. They just don't know what to, because he has it. The press is, they're beside themselves. They're like in white, they're in straitjackets. They are, think about the press in straitjackets. That's their hands are buckled here, and they're just mouthing off with their mouths. There ain't a damn thing they can do with it. It's all out of control. But this is Trumpism now in the new generation, people. That's where we're at. So, again, what I want to talk about today is this shift in America. These two political parties. Friends, the Democrat Party is no longer here. They've left the station. It's gone. If you've got your hand on your ass and you're waiting for the JFK Party to come back, you can forget about it. It's gone. It's not coming back. Well, that's been hijacked from the lunatics, the radicals, the far left. Now, again, if you're a Democrat or you're a left of center person listening, which I always invite you people in, you know, this is more of your conversation. That's why the potential of a 2020 general election could be significant, or as Trumpism would call it, huge, right? Could be huge, as those people's eyes have opened now and they see what's really going on. And that's a brand of American politics called conservatism. It's patriotism. It's nationalism. It's still having your eye on the globe, people. It's not a libertarian point of view, essentially. It's still having your hand and eyes of where you need to be. It's pragmatic. This is what the generation of Trump is. This is what Trumpism is. It's not necessarily a libertarian viewpoint. It's a different brand of politics. But it is putting America first. Of course, that drives the globalists insane. They don't know what the hell to do with that. What do you mean this guy's putting this country first? Who the hell is he? But that's what's happened here. And now the socialists and the communists and the globalists and the progressives and the left and these people, and they are out of their flipping minds on the left. And so that's what's kind of pushed Pelosi into hijacking the whole thing up there in the current Congress of what's happened back in what year are we in, huh? 2019, just before we flip to 2020. In this show today, I want to talk about the vision of 2020. I want to talk about what's ahead. What's the future for the Republic? Not so much the past. I don't want to be sitting here bitching and complaining about impeachment for the next bit of time with you. I want to talk about what's ahead. I want to talk about breaking down the bureaucracy of government. And we'll do it up, friends, with three friends that were just on Viewpoint. If you listened to the program last week, those will be the ones on here. Dennis Santiago, Eva Armstrong, Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro will join us. And we'll talk about the vision ahead, but we'll also talk about the breakdown of these parties. The generational shift, really, is probably more of a momentuist shift. Because I think I would argue with you, we're probably never going back there. The GOP is no longer that party of old white men. It has shifted. You're going to see the president probably pick up more Black Americans and Hispanic Americans. And for what he is being accused as being a racist, xenophobic, SOB president. Boy, I'll tell you what, we'll see what 2020 delivers, people. But that may laugh right in the face of all of that for sure. But that party's never coming back, that Democrat Party. It's gone. They've hijacked the entire thing now, and they're out of the closet. You talk about being out of the closet. Damn, they're out of the closet more than they've ever been. And they're there. If you ever thought about a socialist, communist agenda in America, it's right before your eyes right now. And those old white men, they're gone too. So the party, this shift that's happening now is that's the brand of Trumpism. So we are in a historical moment coming into 2020. That's where we find ourselves right now, people. So pour yourself a cappuccino. Sit down a minute here. We'll bring on Dennis, Ava, Joe. Be back in just a moment.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Of course, they've been burning our history and busting our history and you know, banging it down. And it's the strangest thing, people, because, you know, how can you move forward if you don't know history? And of course, the problem is if you don't understand history, you're very liable to repeat the same mistakes. That's the beautiful thing about history. It's a fine line, actually, people. You don't want to live in the past, but you want to understand the past. There's a difference there, people. Understanding the past, living in the past, those are two different things, okay? So let's not live in the past, but let's understand the past. The reason is, well, we want to talk about the future here. Well, let's start off here today, friends. I'd like to do that next with Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro. Lieutenant Joe, he is a retired police lieutenant, director of school security. He's a master trainer and the owner of True Security Design. He's host of Chasing Justice, plays Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Now, Joe, one of the things about you that I think people have discovered is you always speak from the heart. You speak in a very authentic way. And people know that. It resonates with Americans. That's what people love about talk radio, quite frankly, is it's a passionate medium because we can speak from the heart. And people can read that with you. So I want you to take the next couple of minutes for me, speaking from your heart. As we now move into 2020, Lieutenant Joe, talk to me on where do we go with this? What are the opportunities ahead? And also, let's also keep in mind, as I talk to all of you today, that flashpoint, Joe. When I talk about a flashpoint, people use the word civil war. And I don't necessarily want to use those words because that could mean anything today. But I do think there could very well be a flashpoint coming in 2020 or 2021, for that matter, somewhere in the next 18 months, I'm going to say it, Joe, as we get through the election, because a lot of things are going to happen in the next 18 months. If you fell asleep right now and you woke up 18 months from now, we'd be a totally different country. What do we look like in 18 months from now? Where are we at? And what's that flashpoint moving forward, Joe?
Malcolm, I think, first of all, I want to say when you talk about, you know, talk radio, it's a very intimate medium. And that's why I've always loved talk radio. So I love being here. I love being with everybody in America Out Loud. As we look forward here, you know, you talk about the change in the parties. History teaches us everything we need to know, because really what we're dealing with is human nature. Human nature, as I say all the time, our default position as a human species is to live under the strong man, live under tyranny, because that is the survival of the fittest out there. What we're seeing with the blessing of America is such a different opportunity for humanity. But the reality is we're always very close to going back. For these 200 and something years that we've been here, we've all been going in the same direction. We had two different parties, but we were all rowing the boat in the same direction. We just had different ways to get where we were going. What we're seeing now, the changes in the parties, the Democrat Party, like you said, is no longer the working class people. What they are now is a conglomeration of groups, and they're all being used. And that's my opinion. I think all of these groups that want to do good things, and they want to, you know, save the planet, and they want to do, you know, make sure everyone is taken care of and no one has to work that hard. That's all very good feeling type of things, but that doesn't really get things done. But they're being used. They're using those good feelings to get power. And power is what the party is really about now, which is socialism and eventually communism. The Republicans, on the other hand, you're right. They were the rich group, and they, you know, they took care of themselves. What I see the Republican Party now, and I see lots of people joining, working class people, they are the party of opportunity. The Republican Party gives us opportunity to do your best. You know, the old pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Well, some people say, well, not everyone has bootstraps. So you know what? Go out and get two jobs. Buy a pair of boots with straps and pull yourself up. You know, Trump, the change that he has brought to us is that I'll never forget the moment I was sitting at my kitchen table when Trump announced that he was going to run for president. And Jim from the neighborhood was sitting there with me, and he said, did you hear Trump's actually going to run for president? And we both looked at each other and said, you know what? Finally, not one of these fake politicians, maybe somebody who lives in the real world could run this country and give us all opportunity. That is why, you know, they're trying to separate us from Trump and trying to prevent Trumpism from going forward is not working. because you have all these disparate groups that maybe didn't feel part of the Republican Party starting to see the party is really about opportunity. Trump is saying, I don't care who you are, who you love, what color you are. If you do a good job and we work hard, our boat goes in the same direction.
That's right.
That is what Trumpism is bringing to America. It's renewing that.
Right.
The fear for the future is with these Democrats is that we are at that moment, that flashpoint moment that you're talking about.
Right.
Because everything is so different from our founding. Our founding fathers gave us all these years of gunpowder for freedom. And I think we've used that up when we see the Democrats moving in the direction they're going, because I think it has to be renewed. This has to be renewed again. And that's what I think you're feeling, and a lot of people are feeling, that there's this coming together of these two very different ways to go, and we're going to have to make a decision one way or another.
Mm.
And that can be through the ballot box, very easy, and we defeat everyone. Or if it continues to linger, then it may come to a much more aggressive change one way or another. That's what history teaches us.
Yeah. Well, let's bring on now Abe Armstrong to the conversation. Abe is a political commentator, radio personality here at America Out Loud. She's an extraordinary author. Her books are on Amazon, on the America Out Loud bookstore. She writes about America's heroes, our military, law enforcement, and the everyday man, the everyday American in a very unique way. And Abel, we hear Lieutenant Joe put it out there. We talk about these two political parties. And as he was suggesting, what's really changed, and I think he just pointed that out as well, even though we had two different political stripes previously, we still had a common goal in America. And this common goal we had connected us as a people. And there were some ideology differences there, some ideological differences. I get that. But we still had a common goal. There seems to be the shift in that goal. Now, I talk about a flashpoint as well and what's ahead. And Joe says, well, that could be a flashpoint. And it could be. It could be a flashpoint at the voting booth, or it could be a different kind of flashpoint that we're seeing here. What I really see happening right now, what should not be lost on anybody, Aver, is this. As you're seeing the momentum and you're seeing the American people stand up, in spite of the left, the radical movement that, as I point out, own it all in the country and have the megaphone to the people, you're still seeing this shift. So if the shift happens at the voting booth that Joe just points out, and that shift cements the legacy of Trumpism in 2020, it is a momentous election coming up here in 2020. Like, we haven't seen the likes. The only one that would surpass that would have been 2016 to have shifted this momentum to begin with. But if you see 2020 go there, and what I'm saying is, and you see the fact that if America does rise like that, I have to tell you, Ava, I think that is going to be the purest lesson in getting back to the framers of where we are as a people that would say, you know what, the country has spoken now. And this brand of politics of nationalism, Americanism, Trumpism, whatever you want to call it, is the brand that we're going to take forward with us. I think that's a big moment for the country, isn't it?
It certainly is. I call it love of country. It's so interesting. I had no idea what Joe was going to say, but I had a quote. It's one of my favorites from Thomas Jefferson. And this is what he said in 1793. So it gives you an idea of how these guys almost had like some kind of ESP or something. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. Now you have to think about that for a second, because that is exactly what the left is doing. And I don't even call it the Democrat Party anymore. That has become radical leftist behavior and thought. Mm-hmm. And that will be such a change in this country. I mean, if we have these folks in power, you already know what their agenda is. They've pulled the curtain back and explained it very well. So, you know, we'll be a dictator. We'll be a China. That's what we'll be. We're turning into China.
Well, your reference point to the Democrat Party, Ava, probably the reference point, respectfully, moving forward, I would think we would probably refer to the party, I think, as the socialist left, because that's where the party has now gone, which is why Pelosi's agenda has gone that way because the influence within the core of that party was significant, and it stifled any practicality of where Pelosi's agenda would be or would have been, and it's what has taken over the breath and the ideology of that party. So it really is a socialist left mentality. And let's bring on now Dennis Santiago, and it really comes back to, I'm thinking back, Dennis, to, again, George Orwell, 1984, and thinking back to that shift of American politics, of big government, they're watching, seeing what you're doing, where we're at. This shift that we're living through right now is a transformational shift. So, Dennis Santiago, again, friends, is an American strategist, a philosopher, a patriot. He focuses here on America Out Loud, on strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, global stability. Dennis, this shift we're talking about now and these two parties, you know, having a chance to step back and listen to the remarks of what we're looking forward to in 2020. So we talk about this flashpoint. You tend to always try to be practical or optimistic. I would use the word practical more than anything. And you have a probably more favorable viewpoint than I would have of that socialist left, probably, or more tolerant, if you will. I think I've become probably less tolerant to their agenda than probably you are. But let's talk about the potential of that flashpoint. How serious, serious question, how serious is that flashpoint, do you think, moving forward? I'm talking over the next 18 months now, because anything could happen. Anything could happen within their desire to get the president out of office, a potential election of a new president in 2020, moving the country forward from there. And also another piece, Dennis, I'll throw at you, the safety and security of the life of the 45th president of the United States as well, should be a concern for every American. I say that, you know, not to be a smart guy out there, but I put that out there. His safety and security, number 45, moving forward, not only towards this next election, but past it, should be a paramount concern for the Republic. Talk about that flashpoint ahead.
You know, we should never forget that the weirdest things on this planet tend to start east of the Hudson River, okay? And I start there because I believe there is a flashpoint. And it may overwhelm everything going on inside the Beltway in the Washington, D.C. Shore of the Potomac. What you're seeing right now, you're seeing a battle between the establishment and Donald Trump, or Trumpism, as it's called, and Trumpism is winning. It's winning worldwide, actually. You know, Boris Johnson just won the election in England. Brexit passed. You know, that's very much the same kind of thing. So globally, Trumpism is taking off on the world scale, and that's of course driving all the people that don't want that to happen to do really, really weird things.
But they're going bananas.
They are going bananas. I mean, you know, if you look at the latest social upheaval that's going on, J.K. Rowling is in trouble because apparently she's backing a feminist, and the trans people don't like the fact that she's backing a feminist in some sort of court case. And, you know, so that whole world of the left fragments they're starting to eat each other, right? So they're throwing each other under the bus. So I think there's going to be more of that happening in 2020 that we're going to see. But that's not the flashpoint that I'm watching. The flashpoint I'm watching has nothing to do with the District of Columbia. The flashpoint I'm watching happens to do with the home of Thomas Jefferson on the other side of the Potomac in Virginia. Because there's something really weird happening there right now. Hmm. And it's the fault of possibly the only more controversial figure coming out of the New York area than Donald Trump. That would be Michael Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. The Virginia state legislature is attempting to pass the very first full confiscation of weapons from the people of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the Virginia counties have all voted to resist the state. That's a flashpoint that could boil into something very, very ugly and very, very different from what's happening inside the Beltway in 2020. And it's something that I think we all should watch, because this is the people versus the state. And very much like the Revolutionary War, that was Bloomberg is kind of like the King of England when you think about it, and contrast him with Donald Trump, who is like the king of the everyday man. Mm-hmm. So there could be a philosophical thing going on here that is about to start. And these things, when they flash, could take off. You know, it could be like a Ferguson thing, but it could be a Ferguson thing going in a very different direction from what we saw in the past. And so don't just look at DC when you look for flashpoints about how the United States can pivot. You need to look in other places, and you need to look at other things that are going on. That's my message to people in 2020. Be on guard everywhere, not just focused what happens because Soledad O'Brien thinks that Tulsi Gabbard is a coward, right? I mean, you know, there's more going on in this country that we need to look at.
What Dennis is talking about there in Virginia is Senate Bill 64 and Senate Bill 16. And this is a movement that has engaged, enraged, and outraged the militias, who are actually going to transcend on Virginia. They are going to be moving into Virginia. And they're back to what you just said as a flashpoint, Dennis. That is exactly what could take place. That is an interesting flashpoint in that could. Virginia's been doing some weird political stuff for a while now. They've become very politically interesting. And through the last election, through the midterm, they went far left. I mean, they hook, line, and sinker, which is why they now are in this position from the state to push this agenda. But you know, you always got to come back to that old adage, Dennis. You know, don't, be careful what you wish for. You know, the citizens of Virginia elected these people to office, to high office, and I'm speaking about the Senate and the state legislature there and the governor, and yet you just said to me, didn't you just say a moment ago that the counties and the districts there are resisting this, correct?
Yes, they are. They have all voted themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuaries. That's like the big thing that's going on in Virginia right now. And here's the thing, you know, when you talk about the deep state and stuff. So Virginia is the suburb outside of Washington, D.C., where all of the people that work for the bureaucracies and the Congress, you know, this is where they all live. So the apparatniks, if you will, to use the proper socialist term for who they are, live in the counties, the suburban counties of Virginia and the rural counties of Virginia, have never really quite liked the fact that these carpetbaggers are in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's well said. Lieutenant Joe, I got to get over to you now. We talked about Virginia, and I just mentioned you. And let me also reference to people. There is a great read on the platform, friends, at America Out Loud. I would be amiss not to tell you. That's entitled Michael Anti-Gun Bloomberg, which Dennis just referenced, is the shadow behind the gun grab movement in Virginia. Very interesting piece by our weekly columnist and commentator, Gold Star Mother Susan Price. A must read. And it gets to the nitty gritty of what Dennis is talking about here with Virginia here. Okay, Joe, there's some interesting things. You talk about justice all the time. You're on top of it. I want to reference before I turn it to you, you hear what Dennis just says there, which I think is a real interesting. My mind moved fast when he started talking about that. It was very ironic that he picked up on Virginia in that way. But there was another thing that happened in the past week that I found fascinating, and that is the William Barr, our attorney general, came out and Barr was saying that the lack of respect for our police. He was talking about what is fueling the anti-cop movement or resentment that's happening in the nation here. Barr says this, and I want you to speak about this a minute, Joe. He says, and I was puzzled, you know, sometimes these guys are so politically correct you want to vomit. And this was one of those cases. I like Barr. I'm a Barr fan. But his comment I thought was a cop-out. He says, so when he was asked, what is fueling the anti-cop movement in the country, Attorney General Barr? He says, it's a mystery to me, as we rely so much on our police to keep us safe. We need to do some soul searching on how we treat our police. Now, that's a quote, and those are the words from A.G. William Barr. Well, I would say to you, Lieutenant Joe, it's no mystery to me what the hell is going on in America. Why it's a mystery to the Attorney General is beyond me, because it's not a mystery to me at all what's happening here. So I think that was a lame comment for the AG to make about being a mystery to me. It was just a stupid comment to make from him. So when I ask you what's fueling the anti-cop movement in America, and then you hear this, you know, these laws trying to pass in Virginia, and the militias are out there and they're trying to confiscate arms. So now I ask you, Lieutenant Joe, what's going on? What's fueling the anti-cop and the anti-gun, and what's happening in America?
Well, let's take a minute and let's connect the dots here, okay? Because the things are right there in front of us if we step back a little bit and take a look. As we're talking about the parties, the leftward movement of our Democrat friends, which we're now seeing is more and more socialist than it is traditional Democrat Party, and their control. They've been going after guns forever. That's been always one of their main targets, was to go after guns. And now we see they're in a position in Virginia where they're going to vote this. And then they said they're going to go out and actually confiscate guns. We have the people who are now being put in a position. This is not the traditions of America being taken apart and we all pretty much just sit back and take the hits. They attack Christmas. They attack our sense of right and wrong. And we all just kind of sit back and take it because not a lot we can do about it. We're moving forward. We're trying to be better thinkers. Now you have the rubber meeting the road. Now you have not just talk. Now they're going to step in and they're going to violate your rights and take your guns away. And people are drawing a line and saying no. When we look at that, we can see the same thing with law enforcement. They're attacking our law enforcement for the last, 8, 10, 12 years. There's been this slow and steady drumbeat that the police are bad, the police are racist, the police shoot people down because they just hate them. And we know that that's not the truth. But that's what the media keep portraying because they're trying to attack our police. We're seeing sanctuary cities where they're allowing law breaking to go on as an appropriate thing. And then we see the response from these people in Virginia, which I think will be repeated in many places, of sanctuary cities where America still is alive. And those two groups are being pushed closer and closer to each other. And that's where that flashpoint certainly takes place, that Sumter moment when somebody says enough is enough. And unfortunately, we can see historically those kind of events, once they get started, it's very difficult to pull that genie back into the bottle, so to speak. So we see this attack on law enforcement as another attack on traditional America. You know, we have laws in some states now that say people can shoplift up to $750 and we're not going to charge them. Mm-hmm. What is that? What kind of a policy is that? Because, you know, those people need things. So it's okay that they go into a store and steal and the police will not respond. We're seeing this Ferguson effect where my brother and sisters are out there. They're putting their lives on the line and their local government, their state government will not back them. So as that starts to fall apart, our peace and safety is in danger all across the country, and it eventually will come to every community. So this is all part of the same thing that's going on right in front of us. Only, and I love Dennis's bringing up Virginia, because that potentially could be that flashpoint that mm-hmm. we're all afraid is going to happen. You've got the government marching in, and they're going to take your guns, and people are going to say no, and they're going to fight back. So what do we do? Have open gunfights in neighborhoods between who? They're going to call out the National Guard, and all these militias are going to show up, mm-hmm. which isn't it interesting? In our founding, the well-founded militia was put together to defend us against a tyrannical government. Right. And now we have a tyrannical government forming, and the militias are answering the call 200 and something years later.
There it is.
It's all right in front of us. And if we don't get a handle on this, we are going to see this flashpoint and this paradigm shift that I don't know that we're ready for. I hope our patriots will rise and America will rise with the backing of God, who's always been with us. Mm-hmm. But it could get bad. It could definitely get bad. You can see the seeds have been planted.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
You know, over the last many years, we've talked about, you know, and I hear these things in my ears, echoing in my ears that, you know, they're taking your guns. Or, you know, and a lot of people would chuckle at this and we'd say, well, they're not really doing that. That's just a lot of propaganda. It's just to get, you know, clicks, clickbait stuff. That's never really going to happen here. And then as you hear Lieutenant Joe talk in the last segment and Dennis Santiago bring out about Virginia and the militias there, and what's happening potentially in Virginia. And I mentioned the flashpoint up front because I want you to pay attention, people, to where all the chess pieces are in this game we are experiencing and living right now. I don't want to use the word playing because I don't think we're playing this game, but we are living, well, pawns, for a better word, in this live chess game, if you will. And you can see the pieces move around here. Historically here, it's insane. You see the president enact this new space force for, you know, a Star Wars sort of space fighting thing to protect the planet. You see these things happening as technology moves forward. You see the world of AI and robotics coming down the pipe here. You see the militia shift of what's happening to our God-given rights here in the Republic. And then you see this version of Trumpism where I started in the Republican Party shift. And then you say, well, wow, you know, are we living in interesting times? And I say to you all the time, historical times, and some people may not really know or understand what I mean by that. But I know that's not lost on you, Ava Armstrong. And I would say to you, yeah, and I would say to you, I that's my language. I say it all the time. But Ava, I truly believe this is a unbelievable. If you look over the last 100 years, this would be another a flashpoint. This would be another flashpoint of the Republic that will mandate and demand what's going to happen next for all of us over these, you know, it's going to determine the next many generations. What do you see ahead? What kind of difficulties are we in right now? And are you optimistic or pessimistic?
Well, I'm a little bit nervous because some of these things have been predicted, and some of them have been a slow boil, okay, a rolling boil for a long time.
That's a good way to put it, slow boil. I like that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's been happening, we've seen our free speech become eroded, or almost, it's actually destroyed somewhat on social media, and which is our town square of today.
That's right.
Not only has it been eroded there, I mean, just try wearing a Trump hat into a shopping mall, okay? I mean, there are gangs of people who will beat you up because you're wearing a hat. I mean, think about this for a minute. Our Second Amendment was the next thing they would come after. And this should be no surprise to anyone, because what I've been watching for the last, I'm going to say, 20 years is an erosion of our rights, okay? And this is going to accelerate if these folks gain power, they gain the presidency, they gain the footing in Congress, then we're done. This is it right here. This, people don't realize, they think, oh, I have friends who say, oh, I don't want to talk politics. Well, I'll tell you what, politics and religion are two of the most important topics to talk about. And if you're not paying attention to politics, then you're going to be a victim of politics. That's basically what it's going to end up being.
Okay.
We, the people, are the bosses in this whole republic, okay? We are the ones who are supposed to be driving the decision-making, not the politicians. They've got it backwards now. They've flipped it, okay? And now they stay in office and, you know, they get reelected and reelected and reelected. And there are some people who will be cleansed out of the system soon when Durham and Barr and all of this investigation comes to light. Mm-hmm. That could be the one thing that will save us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the biggest points of context here, when I speak about the bureaucracy of government and where we stand here, it used to be the old fight, Dennis, of, again, I started this talking to you about two political parties, and their philosophies, what they've been 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago, and what they're going to be moving forward. I go back to a time with Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War, and I go back to right in the period of 1860, and back, it was about 1854, 55, when the Republican Party had its birth. And prior to that, it was the Whigs Party, and there was a transformation going on in America. And there was a young group of young people, as I recall or remember, called the Wide Awakes. And that group of young people called the Wide Awakes was a transformational movement in America that was happening. And, of course, President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, was a transformational president. Had he not been here, the country could have ended up a whole lot different. And in many ways, I know people would, you know, would pass out on the left when you say that, but President Trump is another Abraham Lincoln for our time. There's no doubt about it. And Abraham Lincoln was a strange looking fellow as well as Trump is. I mean, they had very unique personalities, very different, edgy. And they would go against the grain. And they would piss a lot of people off, quite frankly. And so there are a lot of similarities between back at that moment of time as to where we sit right now. When you look at we're talking about the flashpoint and all of that, but picking it up on the bureaucracy of government, when you've got these people, there's a piece of America that wants to be babysat, Dennis. They want to be babysat. Let's call it Socialism 101. And it is the socialist left now. That is the party that is of the left. And you think, all right, how many laws in the last 50 years have the CIA, NSA, FBI, IRS, DOJ. I mean, obviously, it's like a morning alphabet soup, you might think, or cereal you have in the morning there, you know, what brand of alphabet soup you got. How many laws in the last 50 years have these organizations broken, and how many times have they screwed over the American people in the name of what they call national security? And the point of context there is after 9/11, we basically dropped our drawers in America here as they've screwed the American people over. Think about the Patriot Act and all of that, and the NSA came to power. And I mean, my God, George Orwell, we passed that. We're way down the road from Orwell days, my friend.
It's the Lyndon Johnson era, right? It's the Great Society, where that was where the birth of America standing on its own feet, America being a safe space, loving bunch of snowflakes, originated from. Because, you know, we were rich and we were able to take care of everybody. Interesting thing is we're still pretty rich. We're still able to take care of our people better than most other places on this planet. I think there's a positive flashpoint coming, actually.
What is it? When you say worry the way you just said worry, it worries me that you are losing your mind. But go ahead. What's the positive flashpoint?
The positive flashpoint that I see is that we have found a way to accelerate all of this debate.
Okay.
In a way that does not require marching, you know, killing each other in the streets. The Civil War required us to do that, which was very, very costly. The riots of the 1960s required us to do that, which was very, very costly. Today, we do that all virtually. We do it on the internet. Okay. Just as tumultuous as it always was. Mm-hmm. What I think the positive flashpoint that we may see in 2020 is that we may see social media as we know it, as a medium of contention, change, simply because the companies that control these systems may be reaching the half-life point of their utility. Hmm. And one of the things that happens in the world of technology, you know, there's an adage of technological vantage. It kind of goes like this, you know, 100 years of glory followed by a long and arduous decline for every technological innovation. At internet speed, that happens in about, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years, right? Or maybe 5 or 10 years. But it's not 100 anymore. It's much, much faster. And if we see the world of the internet morph to something that is more in tune with core American values, mm-hmm. come 2020, and it'll be tumultuous. It will not be something that will go down easy, because revolution never is.
Right.
But if you see a virtual revolution happen there, and these some of these companies will get replaced, mm-hmm. that could be a very interesting thing going into 2020 that we will witness. And it does not require having people to drive all the way across the country with AR-15s to go camp out in Virginia.
Interesting. I'm not optimistic at all about that, although maybe there are some new companies coming off the ground, but they seem to not have the vast momentum needed or the resources to bring them to the light of day. And you, as a social media influencer, what do you say to that?
Oh, I say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I think this is one of those moments for America, though, that we need to tear down the wall that's dividing us. I think free speech is number one for a reason, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Second Amendment, you know, is number two for a reason. That protects number one. We've got to get back to basics in this country. And I think Trump is going to bring us there. If he gets reelected, I say if, I'm very certain he will be reelected in 2020. This is what his second term will consist of. Mm-hmm. It will be righting the ship.
That second term a moment here. This is important. Yep. The last many minutes we have here. Yep. I want to talk about that second term a moment here. Talk to me, Ava, about the dismantling of the federal bureaucracy. When I mentioned up front with Dennis, the CIA, NSA, IRS, FBI, yeah. DOJ, all of these. So yeah. Let's talk about the size and scope of where we're at right now. And back to President Trump's second term, two questions here. One, are you concerned with the safety and the security of number 45 if he does get reelected? And as we say, he will get reelected in 2020. And what about the dismantling of that federal bureaucracy? Could that be an achievable goal for this president?
Of course it's achievable. It is, even through executive order, he could actually remove certain things. Like, for example, he could end the FISA court if he wanted to. For one thing, it's unconstitutional. And if you took that before the Supreme Court, he would win. He could end the FISA court right away. The other thing he could end is the NSA. Think of how many millions of people that we employ doing this stuff. I mean, not just government employees. I'm talking about non-governmental employees. I mean, this government has grown to a size and scope that no one can really actually imagine. I am a person who reads an awful lot about this, and we need to get rid of the FBI. They're outdated. We don't need a Federal Bureau of Investigation anymore. That's a 1940s thing. We don't need it. We do not need a lot of other things, like, for example, the Department of Education. We never had a Department of Education until 1979. The minute we had a Department of Education, we suddenly dropped to like number 50 on the list of, you know, countries that have the best schools. Mm-hmm. So all you need to do is give something to government and they'll make it worse. Okay. The only thing they're really, really supposed to be doing is running a military that kills people and breaks things. Okay. That is really the bottom line. And we're not supposed to be all over the world interfering with other people's, you know, government or anything else. What we should do is take care of our own. And that's what Trump's trying to put forth here. He's trying to get back to basics.
Mm-hmm. Basics, yeah. Lieutenant Joe, pick up on there, please, now on this dismantling of the federal bureaucracy. What do you see in a term two for Trump? And also talk about a safety and security, number 45, please.
I think the president always is at risk because he's just a human being. And we've seen through the course of our history that at some point we've had presidents who have been attacked and assassinated. They're human beings. They're out and about in the public. So I think that's always a risk for any president. I think this particular president is probably at greater risk because of the level of hatred and the people that the vehemence that they have with this man and how upset they are. If this impeachment goes by and he gets through this and they're going to be even more upset, then when he wins election again, you could see some of the crazier elements in our world decide that they can't beat him any other way. We see our friends on the left realize they can't beat him, so they're gonna lie and cheat and use the power of government against him. I could see somebody out there who's maybe not stable to decide they are going to save the country and try and physically hurt this man. So of course, I think our Secret Service people are all up on top of that. I know they're brilliant professionals, but I think he's absolutely at risk as far as that goes. When we see the next term, the problem we have once he's reelected, and I believe, like Ava says, he will be reelected, he has 4 years. And then who comes after him? Who is the Donald Trump II that is not just going to be another swamp creature that gets elected? How are we going to ensure that the next Donald Trump maybe doesn't tweet in the way he does, or maybe doesn't say things the way he does, but continues this rebirth? Like every birth, whether it's a child or a nation, there is pain that you go through. We're going through that now. I think the actual rebirth could be more painful. But along the lines of what Dennis is saying, I'm hopeful that we will win out, that the side of justice will win out, that the side of traditional who America is will win out. But I think he only has 4 years left. And then we're going to see people maybe just resign to, okay, well, that was great. We saw that with Reagan. Reagan came in and was such a breath of fresh air, transformed the nation, and then his term was up. And George Bush, who came in, was a very nice man, good president, but certainly not a Ronald Reagan. And then we saw, you know, where we've come to, we just left with Obama. And now we have, Donald Trump, and he'll be here 4 more years. We have to start demanding the next person come up. We need to find that person and start thinking about it, seeing who they are. Hopefully, President Trump will have filtered the courts well enough that the thousands of judges he's putting in place will be more traditionalists, constitutionalists. We'll see the Supreme Court, hopefully, a 7-2, which will give us maybe 10 or 15 years of constitutional cases. And then we have to continue to fight. We have to demand, if we can save this thing and let it be reborn, then it's up to the Patriots, like it always has been, to keep right. What we have. Because what did our Ben Franklin fella say? You know, what kind of government do you have? A republic, if you can keep it. Well, now it's fallen to our hands to keep it.
Yeah, it is indeed, yeah. And that quote, unfortunately, has been bastardized in the past couple of months by the Speaker and others about the whole, if you can keep it. And it's a good question to end on, people, if you can keep it. And we just laid out, I like the words rebirth that we've used here. So you've just listened to the voices there of Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro, Dennis Santiago, Ava Armstrong here. Well, many people would say that this president, they firmly believe he is God-sent. Some people would debate that. But again, things don't always come in the flavors of the colors or the desire of what you think they are. In fact, quite often, things are not what you think they are. It's a game of smoke and mirrors often, people, in the scope of life. And that may be the way it is with a Donald J. Trump, as you kind of see it here. I don't know. I don't have all those answers. But the key here is to give you some thought here, some fodder to think about. Some thoughts as you move through into the 2020 season here on what's ahead potentially here. Let's keep in our minds the word flashpoint. Let's also keep in our minds rebirth, the rebirth of a republic, of what we are ahead, the rebirth of these political parties, the rebirth of America, and the rebirth of our position around the world as the globalists try to scoff it up and suck it down or swallow it whole. And as American patriots, back to who we were in the early days, stand up and say, no, we're not going to have that. We don't want to play that game, thank you very much. We have a different version of our country and a different version of the world, and we don't want to play that game. And that's where we stand right now at this flashpoint, people. Well, brace yourself. There's a lot happening ahead here. And more than that, friends, it's time to get involved and get loud.